as we read these scriptures this morning and as God interprets what's happened here a long, long time ago, I know that it's going to apply to you and to me. I just know it. So be ready to hear something in this message that transforms and changes your life. Because God is a transformative God. God is a God who helps us change and grow and to move from one place to the other and go greater and greater still. So that's what this message is about this morning. You ready for it?
Yes.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. We're going to go to Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. Mark 10, 46. And so they reached Jericho. Later, as Jesus and his disciples left town, a great crowd was following. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Bartimaeus, was sitting beside the road as Jesus was going by. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus from Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," some of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "Teacher," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has healed you." And instantly the man could see. Then he followed Jesus down the road. So it's a familiar story. But let me give you some insight into it. Let me set the stage for you as to what was transpiring here. First of all, we see that Jesus is in Jericho. They reached Jericho. Now, keep in mind where Jesus was headed. I'll let you know. He was headed to Jerusalem to be crucified. That's where he was going. But he went through Jericho. Now, we know of Jericho in the Old Testament, don't we? When Joshua came into the promised land, the very first place he entered, Jericho, right? So this is that same Jericho. Let me give you some information about Jericho. It was a very unsafe place. It was a place where there was a lot of hurt and a lot of outcasts and a lot of people that were not exactly accepted by society. Let's put it that way. And so we see that Jesus has to go through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem, what we know as the holy city, right? He's going to go die for all humankind, right? That's his long-term goal. But he goes through Jericho. Now, we see that his disciples are there, and there's a great crowd following Jesus, right? So there's all of his disciples. And the huge crowd that's been with Jesus all along, they're following him. They're going with him to Jerusalem, obviously, right? And so while they're going, there's this blind beggar. Now, we see in the scriptures, we understand the man's profession. He's a beggar. He's a blind beggar. And he is sitting by the side of the road as Jesus was going by. So let me give you the picture of really what would be transpiring. Very often throughout Israel and throughout the Old Testament, as we even see in our cities today, very often through cities and towns where we walk, we often see beggars by the side of the road, don't we? Right? So it's not unusual. This is a part of their culture. It's still a part of our culture today. And this man is placed by the side of the road, and we know that he is a beggar, and we also know he's blind. Right? Now, he heard that Jesus from Nazareth was nearby. He didn't say he couldn't see that Jesus was there, but he heard he was nearby, not even right in front of him, but on his way by him, right? So he hears this. And you notice that he says next, when he hears that, he begins to shout, Jesus, son of David. Now, wait a minute. I thought he was Jesus of Nazareth. Remember Jesus of Nazareth, the small little town where he was raised? The poor town where he grew up, right? That Jesus, the carpenter's son, the nobody, that Jesus, right? He should have said, Jesus of Nazareth, right? But he doesn't. He calls out and says, Jesus, son of David. Now, if you know anything about the Old Testament, you know that in the book of Isaiah and throughout the Bible, there are places where we know that the son of David, the Messiah, would come. And it would be, he would be called the branch, right? The branch would rise up one day, and he would be the son of God, and he would be the Messiah, and he would cause the blind to see, the lame to walk, and he would give his life for all humanity. So do you understand, even though this blind man cannot see who Jesus is, he realizes who Jesus is. The Messiah, the healer of all humanity, is passing by him. Wow. What a day for him, right? Right place, right time for this man, right? And so what transpires next, you have to understand what goes on, and it sometimes even goes down on in our society today. He starts to yell out, have mercy on me. Now, he doesn't say, give me a dollar, give me 10 cents. He's not yelling out, can I have, hey, rabbi, throw me some money, right? But he's saying, have mercy on me. He wants to be shown mercy. Something different than society probably had been showing him all these years, right? Do we not sometimes see the beggars by the side of the road? And, you know, I work at a place where there's actually a bus stop in front of our car dealership, that beautiful, magnificent Mercedes-Benz dealership. Magnificent, opulent, money, dripping money. Rolex watches walking in and out of that dealership all the time. And on the very corner, on the entrance to that very dealership, is a bus stop where very often I see people with backpacks and bags, no shoes, sitting there. And every once in a while, they'll wander in and they'll sheepishly come through the front door of that beautiful marble place, asking for a drink of water. And so often the other car salesman will say, oh, it's just a bum. Here comes that bum again. It takes everything in me at that moment to remember I'm a pastor. But that's so often how we see the less fortunate, right? So very often we as a culture, we as a world today, we separate people by classes, don't we? The rich, the poor, the broken down, the broken up, the broken apart, right? And this man, listen, look what transpires next, because this often happens. The people yelled at him, be quiet, shut up. See, here's the thing about that culture at that time, which is very similar to our culture today. People don't want to hear people asking for help. They're, you know, they put a label on them that they're beggars. Right? And they say, be quiet. In fact, in that culture back then, you were not allowed to yell out loud to somebody who was a rabbi, of all people. You never spoke up and asked for help from a rabbi. They were supposed to be, you know, the Pharisees. They walked around with their long robes, and they would say, oh, touch me, I'm going to kiss my ring. Jesus spoke of it in Matthew. Read about it. You wear those long robes to look all fancy in public, and your heart is a stone. Right? Religious leaders can often be that way. But Jesus is a different kind of rabbi, isn't he? Isn't he? So here's what transpires. When Jesus heard him, see, just think about this. He's traveling with a crowd, right? Do you think the crowd is very quiet? No, they're clamoring. They're talking about their talk, whatever they're talking about, right? Whatever, they got their thing going on. You know, they've passed this beggar, I'm sure, numerous times. He's just one more person of society that's throwaway, right? And we notice that it has his name, Son of Timaeus. So Timaeus evidently was a beggar before him, perhaps. There's two very, very different things. When I was always studying this, there's two words that say Timaeus, son of honor and son of despicable and despised. Interesting. Same name, depend on how you looked at it, where your face was, your perception was, right? Interesting. But anyway, here's what transpires. When Jesus heard him, he stops and he says, tell him to come here. See, here's what I want to say to you this morning that I think is important for all of you to understand this morning, for all of you that have self-perceptions like perhaps Bartimaeus had. He was a beggar. He believed he was a beggar, right? Right? He knew he was a beggar. He knew that was his life existence, didn't he? Didn't he? That was as far as he thought he was ever going to get, didn't he? Until something miraculous happened. Jesus was nearby. And even though the crowd is all around making all kinds of noise, he hears him shout out. And sometimes when you have a need from God, you need to shout out. It's okay to do that. Even though everybody else is clamoring for God's attention and he's really, really busy keeping the universe in place, he does hear your voice above the sounds of others, right? Yes? And look what happens. Jesus stops right in his tracks. Do you see the kind of God we worship? Do you see who Jesus is? Do you really see who he is? He's the God who stops everything in any given moment, 24/7 in your life and in my life. When you cry out to him, Lord, save me, guess what happens? He stops. And even though some people say, hey, quiet, it's nighttime, we're trying to sleep. Or God's too busy for you today. He's got other things he's got to worry about, like world peace and things like that. Why would he care about what you're going through? Sometimes we even ourselves tell ourselves to be quiet. Oh, God's too busy for me. Or I'm not good enough for God to even bother with, right? Or life goes crazy on you and you think you're going to handle it yourself. I want you to know this morning, the word tells us, and I want you to believe this morning. Whenever you cry out to God, Jesus stops right then and there, okay? And no matter what other people are saying around you, including yourself, he's paying attention. Got that one this morning? You got that message so far? Beautiful. So he says to his disciples, tell him to come here. So they, the disciples, called the blind man. Cheer up. I wonder what they were thinking, right? Cheer up, bud. Come on, put a smile on your face. You won the prize today. Of all the people that are here, you're the lucky one. We pulled your name out of the hat, and oh, look at you. Cheer up, you're a Jew. All these people around us, and they don't really matter, but you do. Come on down. Don't you love those kind of disciples? Cheer up. He's calling you. Now listen, I look at it this way. If you're a blind beggar, if you've been sitting by the side of the road and you're downtrodden and beaten down, and people pass you by all the time and don't seem to give two hoots about you, and somebody says, Jesus is nearby, or you hear that Jesus is nearby, and one of the disciples says, hey, put a smile on your face, everything's good. What would you be thinking? What's there to cheer up about? I'm still blind, right? Anyway, I just love the disciples. Come on, he's calling you. I love this part, though, because in the next verse it says, Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. Let's backtrack a second. These disciples, they're following Jesus, right? They watch all these miracles he performs, right? They got a blind beggar in front of them, right? What do they say to him? Get up! Now, wait a minute. Instead of doing what? Helping him up. Cheer up. Come on, cheer up. You, with a smile on your face. Come on, follow me. Come on, you blind person. Everybody close your eyes for a second. That's what it's like to be blind. If I said, come on up here. Come on, jump. Come on up. You're blind. What do you think you're going to do? Man, oh man, there's a crowd around you too, right? Are you not going to be like bumping into people? You cannot see. Do you see who's blind in this story? The disciples. Don't you see right before your eyes, boys, that man is blind? He cannot see where Jesus is. He's like, whoa, where is he? Let me at him. Where is the help in this? Right? See, I believe that our Christian faith, we as believers, we're not only to see a person's problem, we're to be the ones to go help them up out of that problem and lead them to Jesus, right? Don't just leave all the work to Jesus. You follow what I'm saying? And just say to people, cheer up, God loves you. Come on, cheer up. Your life's a mess, but cheer up. Come on, I want to see a smile. So what, you've just been devastated by loss? So what, you just got thrown out of your job? So what, you just lost your home? Cheer up! What kind of Christianity is that? That's the greatest form of denial there is. Because I'm happy, you should be happy too. No. The world is hurting. People are hurting. People are afraid. People are lost. People are blind. People are calling themselves beggars, and they think, you know, sometimes they think they're on the side of the road of life and they cannot get any farther ahead. And they think that's as far as life is going to take them. They've hit their limit. That's as good as it's going to get. And that's what some people believe because they self also identify as a beggar. But here's the beautiful part of this scripture that I love so much, and this is where the sermon really comes together for you, I hope. He threw off his coat. He threw it aside. Now, you're going to understand this coat. As a beggar, see, people wore tunics back then, right? And what a beggar would have would be a coat. And what they would do is, being that he was blind, he had to stay in one place most of the time, so, like, people, you know, he wouldn't, like, get in people's way. And he had this coat that he used. It kept him warm at night, in the cold nights. He also carried things in it. But when he was laying there by the side of the road, there he was, and he's got this coat on him. And he would spread it out, and that's where the money would be thrown. See? You're by the side of the road, people walk by. Now, isn't this a different position? Imagine going through life like this, on the floor, by the side of the road where the dirt and the dust and the debris is. And people, every once in a while, they throw you a coin. And you can't see them. You can smell them, you can hear them, but you cannot see them, and nor did they see you. And sometimes it's just easy to throw some pennies in your lap. And this is your life. This is as good as it gets. Because you are Bartimaeus, the blind beggar that no one cares for or cares about. Until one day. Until the day that Jesus was nearby. And as goofy as his disciples were, and they didn't help the man up, he wanted enough in himself to get out of that old life and to get away from being known as the blind beggar forevermore. He decided to make a change and call on the name of Jesus and say, I heard about you. You are the Messiah, the Holy One. You're the one who can heal me. And you know what? I'm going to throw aside that coat and I'm going to get up and I'm going to find my way to you. And he threw away his old life in the process. Right? See, he wouldn't accept his lot in life. He wouldn't stay down. He wouldn't stay oppressed. He wouldn't say, let himself be called what people called him. He decided that day to touch on the man who could heal him and cause him to see his life and himself in a different new light and way. He decided that day no longer to be called the blind beggar. And he was so wanting it, he threw that coat aside. He threw it off. Threw away that label. Threw away that life. And what does Jesus say as he comes near him? What do you want me to do for you? What a beautiful question. And Jesus asks you that same question this morning, folks. What do you want him to do for you? He has to know what you want. But if you're only willing to stay where you were, he can't help you, right? You're part of that. And we great disciples in this church, even though we try to drag, pull, and push you to Jesus and say, hey, he can change your life for the better. Come on with me. All right. Who is it up to? Yourself. I believe all of us sometimes get stuck in what we think we're supposed to be and who we are and how far we can go and what we call ourselves. We have identifications and labels that we often put upon ourselves that I want you this morning to throw off. You know what some of those words are. Who you think you are, right? And what your limitations are, right? You know what they are. I don't have to list yours. I can list mine, which may be some of yours. And the interesting thing about Bartimaeus is this. He said, I want to see. And the word actually means see again. He was not born blind. He had gone blind. I want to see again. And isn't it, see, the symbolism of all that is God wants you to see differently. Because all he could see himself as back then, before Jesus, was what his life was and was supposed to be, right? But he knew there was something about that Jesus, didn't he? And as soon as he told Jesus what he wanted, instantly he could see. And here's the beauty of the last part of the scriptures. Then he followed Jesus down the road. Ah, I love that. I love that scripture. I love that phrase. You know why? Because had he not met Jesus, he would have, the next day, what would have happened to him? Still sitting there begging, right? Still waiting for people to throw something in his coat. Still being hopeless and helpless, right? But no, look what happens. Jesus comes along, and what happens? The man decides to ask for help once and for all. He shouts above the crowd, and Jesus heals him, right? And what transpires next? He becomes a part of the bigger following. Wow. Isn't that awesome? I think it's awesome. See, some of you think you're outcasts and you don't belong because of your past or because of who you are or what people have labeled you to be, and you think you can only go so far because somebody told you so. Well, I'm telling you otherwise this morning. What I'm offering you today is for you to call out to Jesus and to follow him down the road. Where is he headed? Jerusalem! To have victory over death. To show who he was, right? Ah, oh, it's exciting. I'm excited about it. So all that said, what is it you have to throw off today? What beliefs that limit you do you have to throw off? What limitations have you placed upon yourself that's as far as you can go? Or did your parents tell you, your parents' parents, or whoever, whatever, somebody said something about you that you can only go so far and you have this feeling that this is as good as it gets and you're stuck where you are. Anybody feel stuck? Oh, goody gumdrops. In case you didn't notice, Jesus is nearby. Jesus is in the building. He is nearby. What do you have to do? And if you start to call out to him, if anybody in this room tells that person to be quiet, if you call out to him, everything's going to stop. And Jesus is going to turn to you and say, what do you want me to do for you? And you can tell him in your mind right now, whatever it is, you can say it to him. I want to, because you decided that. It's so. It is so. The interesting thing in verse 52, it said, Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has healed you. But instead of going his way back home to his family, he followed Jesus instead. Much better choice to follow that way, don't you think? So this morning, as we conclude, I know God had this message for each and every one of you, so important for you, whoever you are this morning, to hear this. I want you to know you no longer need to self-identify as a less than or not good enough or someone God doesn't see. Just because people don't see you or people may not love you, that has nothing whatsoever to do with God. And Jesus is always nearby you at any given moment in your life. So even after this message, when you're away by yourself and you really still have that need inside to change and want to be different or want to have your life grow to a different direction, just say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And I promise you, he'll stop everything and minister to you and help you see yourself for who you really are, a beautiful, wonderful, awesome child of God. Just in case you needed to know it, that prompt was supernaturally brought to the church this morning. Pastor Jamie can testify. I was just driving in here, and there she's dragging it up from the front of the church building. I said, there's my prop. I need it. I wanted something old and beat up, besides all of you. And myself. Oh. And I could not find an old beat-up jacket in my house to save me. But isn't it, do you understand the impact of why this is such an important message this morning? It was no accident that blanket, beaten up as it is, was outside in front of our church. But I think it represents not only the fact that I could use it for my beautiful prop to teach you a lesson this morning, but I also pray that the person that had that no longer needs that. So for you and for me and for us, let's continue to throw off those things, those labels, those words that we sometimes call ourselves or we allow society to call us. And let us call on who we really are, children of God, who are powerful and mighty and awesome and beautiful. And let us see who we really are and who others are in Christ as well. Amen. Amen. Amen.